Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning. I have a joy in my heart this morning because I'm in the presence of our Lord and I'm in the presence of my loving brothers and sisters. It's an astonishing privilege that we have to meet together without worry, without fear, bonded together by the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's that love that will preserve us. It's that love of Jesus Christ that will be our strong defense no matter what comes our way. I'm thankful for the songs that our chorister chose this morning. She knew what the subject of my sermon would be today, but the Lord led her to these songs, I'm sure. A rather remarkable thing happened on March 29th of this year. I showed up here in the church, and our brother Trevor gave a wonderful sermon on fear. The remarkable thing was that I had already prepared a sermon on fear to be given that night at the East Local. And I have chosen this morning, or the Lord has chosen for me, to offer that sermon to you because it dovetails nicely into what our brother Trevor gave. And I think it's vitally important and appropriate for us to consider this subject. And I said at the time, I said I couldn't remember the last time I'd heard a sermon on fear, and there were two sermons prepared in the same day on that subject. And so I am thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for God's word that gives us the guidance and the direction and the courage to do what's right in the face of all odds. The two main scriptures that we're going to rely on this morning are 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 4. So I'm going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, then there's only one other place that can come from: our adversary. God has not given us a spirit of fear. What has he given us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what he's given us. In place of fear, he's given us power. There's power in the indwelling spirit of our Lord, in each one of us. It gives us the power to resist those things that would cause us to tremble. That power says to us, fear not. How many times did Christ say, fear not? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before people even existed, God had a plan. God instituted that plan before any human beings walked the earth. But he instituted that plan with each and every one of us in mind, that we would be born into and live in a sinful world, that we would be surrounded by things that could cause us to fear, but that his plan was a plan of peace and love, a plan of hope, that no matter what comes our way, he will guide us through this life, and that he will usher us in to life eternal, where there is no fear, where there are no tears, nothing but glorying in God our Father. The second verse found in 1 John chapter 4. And the verse that I want to concentrate on is verse 18. But before I go there, I want to read 1 through 3. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe that spirit that tells you to be afraid. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. We know that that spirit of fear is not of God because we just read it in his word. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how we know God's Spirit. This is how we know he's speaking to us. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. If something or someone is trying to influence you to fear, and Jesus Christ is not the major belief of that person, don't accept it. If a person professes Jesus Christ and tells you to be afraid, don't believe it. There were people that stood before Christ and they said, we did many marvelous miracles in thy name. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Even then, 2,000 years ago, that spirit of Antichrist was in the world, and it's still here today. And it will try to deceive you. It will try to make you fear and tremble. It will try to make you be afraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. Don't allow it to do that. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. When we're afraid, We're wrought up inside. Our whole body is churning. And it prevents us from doing what we know we should do. And it causes us to do things we shouldn't do. I'm going to read this whole verse again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's a rather bold statement, that if we have fear, our love of Christ is not perfect. It's not complete. It's not whole. Because if we have that love of Christ in us, we have that perfect hope that come what may, he will be there for us and he will protect us. He will guide us. He will give us that peace that the world cannot understand because the world does not know him. Fear hath torment. We can be paralyzed by fear. We can be so afraid that we don't do anything. We just freeze up. In the face of proclaiming our love of Jesus Christ and our faith in him, we can be afraid that if we say something, we'll be rejected or persecuted or ridiculed. And so fear would say, just don't say anything. In the face of sin, do we, as the scripture says, attempt to restore the sinner? Or do we say nothing because we're afraid to offend? Fear can motivate us to do the wrong thing. It can motivate us to flee. It can motivate us to be angry. It can motivate us to fight back, to lash out in hatred. But this is not the love of Jesus Christ. It's not found in these things. In the face of persecution or threats, it would be easy to just fade away. Just back off. Say nothing. Do nothing. Current events shows us that we're going to be persecuted more and more. I think that's a given. It's prophesied. We see it. We see the potential for it to be even more than it is now. And it would be easy for us to just stand up here and preach peace and love. Everything's fine. Everybody's good. God accepts you the way you are. You don't need to change. You don't need to repent. There's no such thing as sin. So there's no need for repentance. All's well in Zion. Everybody's happy. And we could go home. If you want to experience real fear, preach things like that. But you won't be afraid of people. You'll be afraid of God. You'll be afraid of his judgment upon you. Because those are not the things we're called to preach. we're called to preach repentance. And that's not easy. We're called to recognize sin and not call good evil and evil good. Romans 8. I read through this entire chapter this morning, and every verse in it was just so powerful to me. But I really don't want to take the time to rehearse all of these verses this morning. I would recommend that you read Romans 8 today. But I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is a promise. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. By accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Heavenly Father accepts us as His children, His adopted children. And in so doing, He envelops us in His arms of love. He gives us that hug that says, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm right here. I'm with you. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's gone. That's gone. There are some examples of fear in the 8th chapter of Luke. And again, I can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to kind of point out a couple of these examples of where fear entered into the hearts of men. Gospel according to Luke, we're going to look at 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. What was the remedy for their fear? It was faith. It was faith in that Son of God who was in the boat with them. And we think, well, you know, we don't have him in the boat with us. He's not here. He's resurrected. But he is here. He is here through the power of his Holy Spirit. That no matter what, come what may, he's here. There was the account of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who came to Jesus begging a blessing for his daughter who was nigh unto death. Let's start that at verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's too late. She's gone. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not. Just believe. Just have even a particle of faith, and your daughter will be made whole. These people were tormented by fear. But Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of perfect love, cast out their fear. Remember in 2 Timothy, we were told, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can read of that perfect love of Jesus in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. I'm just going to read verse 7. Speaking of that pure love of Christ, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. We may be called upon to endure much. But we're also given that hope. We're also given the strength and the courage. Courage, the opposite of fear. We're given courage to bear whatever comes our way. If we can do these things, we won't be tormented by fear. When Moses was preparing the Israelites to enter into the promised land, he gave them this advice from his heavenly Father. And let's read it in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31. First six verses of Deuteronomy 31. And he was preparing them because they were given a task that was fearful, potentially. They were given a distasteful task. They were told to enter into that land and destroy every living thing. I can't imagine having to do that. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 6. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He knew that he could not go with them. He knew that he could not lead them into these battles, into these trials that they were going to have. But this was part of God's plan. Because they needed to rely not on Moses, they needed to rely on God. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. And then he said these words, words that should ring in our ears. Be of good courage, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Is that not what we just sang? God is my strong salvation. What foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near. Though hosts encamp about me, firm to the fight I stand. What terror can confound me with God at my right hand? These are not just pretty words. They're comforting. But they're promises. The promises that God makes to us all through the holy books, that he will be there if we but have faith in him. God will not give us the spirit of fear, but of power to cast out fear. The parable of the unprofitable servant found in Matthew chapter 25. I think I'm actually going to read the entire parable because I think it's important that we remember these words. Matthew 25, I'm going to begin at the 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He was wise with what the Lord gave him. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents. He moved out in faith. He did the will of his master without fear. For he knew that if his Lord had entrusted him with these talents, that there would be a way provided for him to use them wisely. His Lord said unto him, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy rest. He moved out with courage and did the right thing. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid. I knew what to do, but I couldn't do it. I was afraid. I was afraid that I might fail. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are given talents, and it's interesting to me that word has two meanings. God has given us a knowledge of his will in our lives. If we seek it, we'll know what the Lord wants us to do with the talents and abilities that he has given us. If we have faith in him and love for him, we won't be afraid to move out. If we have faith in him, we'll have guidance and direction to accomplish his will, so that in that final day, when we stand before him, we can stand unafraid and unashamed and hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. So this unprofitable servant, not only was he paralyzed by fear and didn't do anything, he did the wrong thing. He hid it. He hid the talent that the Lord gave him. God gives us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, so that we can serve him without fear. And this is going to become more difficult, but more important, because he's given us a task. He's given us the task of sharing his word, not just having it and hiding it, but putting it out to the world so that love can grow, so that that body of Christ can grow, so that souls can be redeemed and turned to Christ. There may come a time when it will become increasingly more difficult for us to do that. But we can't give up. We can't say, well, I'm not going to try because I'm afraid of what may happen if I try. We have courage. We have strength. We move out knowing that this is the task that the Lord has given us. And he will provide a way. But if we succumb to fear and worry, uncertainty, unbelief, or a lack of confidence, then we can't do as Moses commanded, be strong and of good courage to accomplish Christ's will in our lives. I'd like to share a testimony that my wife gave. She's given it several times. I always had a fear of flying. Deciding early on in life I would never get on an airplane. The very thought of it made my heart pound. But after our brother Placido began staying with us during conference and reunion, he invited us to go to Yucatan. He wanted me to give music classes at the camp and to the various locals. And since Dan spoke Spanish, he could be useful in giving studies and preaching. The red flag went up immediately when he invited us. Oh no, I thought, God is giving us a way to serve, but there's that flying thing that I don't want to do. I knew Dan would go in a heartbeat. I was the one who was holding things up. I thought of all kinds of reasons not to go, but under it all was the dread of flying. About a year later, I began praying that God would show me that if it was truly what he wanted us to do, I wanted a firm and unquestionable answer. Shortly after I began seeking God's will, I was listening to a sermon by Brother Don McIndoe. He was preaching about those men and women in the Bible who did great things for God. He listed people like Noah and Moses, Abraham and Paul, and mentioned that there were others who God called to serve him, but we don't know about them because they refused. I was listening, but at that moment was concentrating more on finding the scripture reference that he had given. Suddenly, I heard his next words as loudly in my ears as if someone had turned up the volume forcefully. He said, "They told God no because they were afraid." At that moment, I felt guilt and shame. Convicted by the Spirit for my fear. Immediately into my mind came these words, "And what do you have to be afraid of?" I knew instantly that I had nothing to fear, and with the acknowledgement, a sweet peace swept over me, taking away the fear and filling me with joy. Just like it said in the scriptures. I really expected to feel a bit of fear as I boarded the plane for Yucatan that following October. But I realized as I boarded that my heart rate was normal. I wasn't shaking. I did hold Dan's hand tightly as we took off. But my heart was calm and peaceful. I'd like to read in the Gospel according to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 27. The words of our Savior, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God bless you each.